So today, many of us are celebrating Mother's Day. And I want to just take a moment to honour and acknowledge my mum. Hi, Mum. I know she's going to watch this later. She lives in Adelaide. And I want to just honour you, Mum, for loving me for the past 50-odd years, but also for encouraging me to develop a personal relationship with Jesus, because that certainly made a difference in my life over the last 50-odd years. And we want to acknowledge as well that today, Mother's Day, can be a difficult day for many people as well. You know, you might have lost a mum, you might be estranged from a mum, and we don't want to minimise that in any way, but we trust that, you know, today in the service, whatever it is that you need, whether it's peace or hope, joy, that you will feel that as a result of being in this place, and as a result maybe of what you hear from one of our panellists that I'm going to invite up. So I'm just going to invite up our panellists. So in no order, Cindy, she is a mother of, she's solo parenting, a mother of Helena. I have Gigi, who's going to be joining me. She is a mother of teenagers. And we have Zoe as well, who is a mother of four. And I'll try and remember, Aurora, Eva, Jed and Nova. Have a seat anywhere, it doesn't matter. So will you please welcome these ladies? Now, today we're going to be focusing on Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And that's going to come up on the screen. And it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, God's thoughts and his ways are for all of us, all the time, no matter our circumstance or situation. And they are always better than ours, regardless of how clever we think we might be. God might have inspired us with that thought, or his thought may be slightly different, but actually better for us and our children, our family, our lives, our workplace. So again today, I just encourage you to open up your heart, open up your mind, because I know that God is wanting to impart something into each and every person. So we're going to hear from these three beautiful mums a little bit about their approach to parenting as Christian mothers. There are just so many issues, you know, that mothers, fathers too, you know, we face in society. You know, how do you best raise your kid? How much social media do you allow them to have? When do you allow them to have that? What do you feed them? What's the right time to go to bed? You know, are you a helicopter parent? Can you trust their friends? There's just so many questions that, you know, bombard parents, because we all want to do the best job, you know, in raising our kids. But again, God's ways are higher than ours way. His ways are better. And luckily for all of us, you know, he has given us a blueprint for how to live life to the full. Whether you're a parent, whether you're an employee, an employer, a student, a grandparent, whatever, God's word is an incredible blueprint of how to live our lives and to live them well. Now, just before I ask you guys a couple of serious questions, I'm going to ask you just a quick, fun question. Very fast. Favourite chocolate and favourite flower, each of you, so you get a little bit longer. Favourite chocolate, favourite flower?
Peppermint.
You look stunned.
I'm not a big flower person.
Yellow.
Pink.
Oh, I thought you were yellow.
I do love yellow.
That'll do, yellow flowers. Gigi?
Snickers is my favourite chocolate. Okay. Yeah, and I think rose, any colour. I like rose.
Okay. Yes. Yep. Cindy?
The Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, because I'm half American. And maybe a sunflower.
Okay. Mm. Me, I love anything, any nut that's coated in a little bit of chocolate. And I love gerberas. They're such a happy, sunny flower. Okay, now on to something a little bit more serious. So Gigi, is there a mother in the Bible that's been like a role model to you? And in what way?
Sure, yes. From the Bible, it's Hannah, the mum of Samuel. There's a reason behind it. I had difficulty conceiving my first child. So like Hannah, I had a period of prayer and fasting. I really asked God for a blessing. And that same month, I conceived Steve. So initially, actually, we wanted to name him Samuel, but then later decided to go for Steve. So Hannah is always my role model in the Bible. Even now, when I face any challenges, especially with him, I always go back to that story and I say, God, you gave him to me. So I always come and pray and I trust God, like how Hannah gave Samuel back to God. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 1. When the baby was old enough, she actually took the baby back to the house of the God and gave him back to God. So I always surrender him back, not just him, now Stephanie and Starley as well, all three of them. But she is my role model to give them back to God. Yes.
And for you, Cindy, has there been somebody in the Bible who you might relate to and maybe why?
Absolutely. Eunice. And everyone's going, who's Eunice? So Eunice and her mother, Lois, are only mentioned once by name in 2 Timothy. And Eunice is the mother of Timothy. And she was married to a Greek man, but she was a Jewish believer. And her mother was also the same. And they diligently and wholeheartedly followed Jesus. And Paul actually mentions them by name in, he actually says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, he's talking to Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. And I see that as my encouragement because we don't see until much later on in their lives how our faith impacts our children. But my mum is an extraordinary woman of faith, and I know that she's influenced me directly, and she has great impact on my daughter. And so they are the footprints that I want to follow. Even though they were only mentioned once, the impact that they had was that Timothy went on to be an extraordinary pastor, and he was Paul's protege, and his impact was far-reaching. So, yeah.
So can you just go on to share then, like, how being raised by Christian parents has influenced your parenting journey?
Absolutely. Well, my parents, they're not perfect. But what they did was they gave me every opportunity possible to encounter God. So I was very fortunate that I went to a Christian school. We had a very great Christian community in our church. I went to Christian camps, went to Youth Alive conferences and everything like that. But they also had an open door policy to their house. So we had so many non-Christian friends. They saw need because they came from the United States and we didn't have any family over here. So they saw the need for community and for family, and they opened the door to anyone who would need it at any time. And that has shown me their heart, their values, and then of course their service. So their hearts of service were and still are extraordinary, very generous in their time and their relationships, very purposeful and intentional. And so because of that, I, as a single parent, Elena comes along with me to everything. But at first I thought it might be hard for her, but she is seeing the community and she is seeing God's value in everything that we do. She has a relationship with him very clearly because she has had as many opportunities as possible to encounter him, and she talks to her non-Christian friends about it. I think the most important thing is they stepped out in confidence of who they were. So who they were in Christ was the most important thing, and instilling that in me and then me being able to do that for my daughter Because to know that we are not only loved, but we are chosen, and not chosen just for this world, but for the kingdom to come, and that we are heard and seen in a world that has a ever-decreasing sense of identity, I think it's the most important thing, most important gift that I could give my child, and that was definitely passed on to me by my Christian parents.
So Zoe, what or who has been your greatest influence in your Christian parenting journey so far?
Thanks, Leanne. I always can't help but think of like those 90s show of like the perfect date, whenever there's one person asking three people questions. I won't go on.
I'm behind that screen over there.
Who is it? No. So I think who has been my greatest influence? Obviously, you know, God himself, but I'm going to skip over the obvious answer and I'm going to say 100% my mum. My own mum has probably been my greatest influence and for a number of reasons with how she's raised me. But the one that really stands out and that I hope by the grace of God I'm able to transfer to my own children and the way I parent is the way that she prays. And, you know, there have been many points in my mother's parenting journey where she has not maybe had a lot of influence over the choices myself and my siblings have made, especially as we got into our teenage years and our adult lives. And I imagine that would be very difficult, feeling somewhat helpless to not be able to encourage your child or influence them to choose something wholesome and choose to move towards God. But what my mum did was she prayed like a fiend. Yeah. She prayed, and I think she really embodied that pray without ceasing scripture well, because she prayed through the day and she would pray every night that we would turn our hearts towards God, that we would have open hearts to him, that he would draw near to us, that he would protect us. And so she prayed this way, but then she also made opportunities for us to come with her to places. There was a constant invitation to church. Even though I said no every week for I don't know how many years, I said, no, Mum, I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to church. I don't know how many strategically placed Christian books were left next to my bed. But there was the prayer, but then there was also this unwavering persistence to create opportunities for me to come back to God. And I think about that parable in Luke 18 where Jesus talks about the persistent widow and how the persistent widow goes before the ruler of the land. And this ruler has, you know, no concern for God or no concern for man. But every time she asks him for victory over her adversary. And eventually over time, because of her what he found annoying persistence, he granted her what she was asking. And Jesus goes on to say in this parable, well, how much more will our God in heaven, who loves us and adores us and wants every good thing for us, give us what we are asking? And so my mum was that persistent, not widow,
but mother
in that scenario. And I'm so glad that she did, because it was that prayer and that one well-placed invitation at the right time to which I said yes, and I was able to commit my life to Jesus, and then that one decision there has shaped every single decision I have made since. So I have to say my greatest influence as a parent and for, you know, across my life would be my mum.
And I'm sure your mum is still praying for you now.
All the time.
And your children now.
And I hopefully will transfer that as much as possible into my own kids. And, you know, there are nights where I go and stand in their bedroom. My children are 4, 7, nearly 11 and 13. And I will just pray over them. Pray as they sleep. Pray that, you know, God is moving in their lives, that he's taking control of things that I have no control of. Mm. And has given me the grace to raise them up to follow him.
My encouragement to any mum, parent, just to anyone, if you're in a tough situation, that persistent prayer, it pays off. It might not pay off straight away. Sometimes it does, which is awesome. But that persistent prayer, it is incredible the way that you're handing over your cares and your worries to somebody who can actually do something about it, because we certainly can't by worrying about it. So Zoe, there's obviously innumerable ways to parent children, you know, what to do or not to do. So what's a couple of values that you have intentionally imparted into your children as a Christian mother?
Okay, I have so many things I could share.
Just a couple.
On parenting.
If you want more, talk to her after the service.
I think one really important thing that we do with our children is I really encourage my kids to ask all the questions, is to ask why, to be curious about everything that they choose to do, but especially around our Christian faith, because I am certain that our faith is robust enough and God can handle all those questions. Because, you know, it's really important for me that my children grow up with a well-informed Christian worldview and understanding concerning their faith. Because I do know that if they don't know the why, they won't be able to navigate those teenage years and into their adult years in an informed way. You know, that beautiful saying, if you know the why, you can bear almost any how. I want my children to be able to have enough information and enough understanding regarding who God is and why we practice the faith, our faith, the way we do as they go into their teenage years. But for me, you know, I had too many unanswered questions, and I had an underdeveloped understanding of who God is. I wonder, had I been able to ask those questions and have a better understanding of why God does the things he does and why he operates the way that he does and why he doesn't, you know, sovereignly intervene into every single complex, difficult situation and see suffering across the earth. If I knew some of those things, I do wonder if it would have been able to provide me with a little more direction and a little more support as I went through my teenage years. So I really encourage my children, don't, you know, follow rules, don't have a blind faith, understand the why so that you can make your informed decisions and build your relationship with Jesus so that you can have a healthy and clear way of following God as an adult.
Did you have another one you wanted to share, another value
from
the list?
I don't know if it's exactly a value, but the other thing that's really important to me, and it probably comes from that scripture in Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train your child up in the way that they should go, so as they grow older, they will not depart from it. And that's really approaching parenting as training. And when I approach parenting this way, it changes how I interact with my children and how I handle situations that arise. I want my children to grow up to be well-rounded, healthy, well-liked adults that can serve, that can prefer the other person, that know how to practice forgiveness and know how to follow God. And so if that is what I'm hoping to achieve with my children, then how I approach situations will be different. So, for example, if one of my children comes to me and they're distressed or they're upset or, you know, a friend has said the wrong thing about them or maybe they haven't succeeded the way they had hoped to succeed, so they're feeling failure. Or maybe one of them have done something wrong and so they're experiencing those difficult feelings of guilt and regret. Okay, these are complex, uncomfortable negative emotions. And so in that moment, I resist my parental urge to maybe sweep in and fix it or maybe go in and remove their discomfort to, you know, to help them feel happy again. What I need to do in those moments if I'm training my child is what does my child need so that as they encounter this difficult experience 1,000 more times across their lifespan, they know how to manage it. I don't want them to just try and avoid those things, or I don't want them to not know how to sit with those experiences. And what I really do want for them is to know how to find God in those really complex moments where they're feeling those really difficult things. So instead of giving them advice, because, you know, 9 out of 10 times children don't want advice, they actually just want you to listen. And they actually just want empathy and validation and to know that it's safe for them to have these feelings and that it's okay to sit with them and that over time, as you experience and process them, they pass. And you don't need to engage in any avoidant, dismissive behaviours to acquire that or to accomplish that. And so I'll sit with them like, thanks for sharing this with me. And I get that this is hard. You know, what are you feeling in your body? What is this like for you? What do you feel like you need at the moment? It's often not advice. And I have a lot of that. And then in that moment, well, let's just see what do you feel God is saying right now? What is he doing? Let's just sit together. Let's see how he's reaching out to you at the moment. And, you know, I'm always amazed by their ability to be in step with the Holy Spirit and to, I need to go forgive that person. I want to do that. And then I can be with them as they do that. And what they learn really valuably for the rest of their life, no matter what it is that they're going through, is that God can meet me here and he is the solution. So I approach parenting through the lens of training so that my children will know God and not depart from it as they grow.
I love that she said, you know, God is the solution, and he's always the best solution. You know, he's
better than me.
Like that scripture says, you know, his solutions are higher, you know, than our solutions. So Gigi, many teenagers in society struggle with their identity, anxiety, depression, and they turn to unhealthy things or people as a means to try and, you know, gain acceptance and identity. So what Christian principles have influenced you to help your teenagers navigate their teenage years?
It's definitely my identity in Christ. So that's something I really struggled a lot. So as an immigrant, I actually did very well through my studies, overcome so many hurdles to come from one country to another, start my life right from the basic. I did a lot of things in my own strengths and in my own intellect. But one thing I always struggled was my identity in Christ, which is very important. So when I reflect that, I always want my kids to know who they are in Christ. More than anything, even if they're a success, they're a failure, they grow, they doesn't grow, doesn't really matter. As long as they know who they are in Christ, they are the sons and the daughters in Christ. That's the most important thing I want them to develop in their lives. And that's what is going to keep them firm and strong when troubles come. And another thing is I would like to role model what I say, because I don't want them to look at me and say, oh, mom, you don't do that and you want me to do that. I don't want them to say that. I want to be a prayerful mom, someone who forgives, someone who loves, someone who attends church, someone who values and honors God. So put God first. So then they remember and they look back and say, oh, hey, my mom used to be, you know, she goes to church, she welcomes us and she does this. So I want to be a role model for them, not just by saying, but by doing. So they know what I value and what I honor. And my only one advice, I always think I have only one advice to give them. And that is never to make God your enemy. Even if the whole world is against you, even if everything turns against, doesn't matter. As long as God is on your side, you are good. So that's my only one simple advice to give them. Always keep God your friend, not your enemy. And I think about a story where there's a story of a pig and a sheep. A pig loves to play in the mud. When it falls in the mud, it loves to play. Whereas a sheep, if it accidentally falls into the mud, it comes out of that mud. It tries its level best to come out of the mud. It doesn't enjoy being in the mud. So as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Christ, we all fall. We all make mistakes. We all commit sins. It's possible that we fall in the mud. But know who you are. You are not a pig to play in the mud. Escape, come out, repent, come close to God, don't be rebellious, but come out of it. So, you know, we will fall, but God will forgive, but never enjoy playing in the mud. That's not who you are. You are not a pig, you are a sheep, and you got a shepherd. So those are the things I want them to know, always bring them back to Christ just through role modeling. And I try to do things with them. That's something I practiced after coming to Discover Church. I always practice Lent with them or doing some courses with Steve. We pray together, read the scriptures together, spend some time together, make it a point every day. At the end of the day, we spend good half an hour together, sharing their life with me or reading the scriptures, meditating, pray. So I want to develop that time with them. That's the best time out of in that day to spend the time with them. And I'm always open and I always welcome to come and talk to me, because my parents were not like that. We never had a chance to talk to them, open our feelings to them. It wasn't allowed. And it definitely had a lot of consequences. But I want them to come to me, talk to me, and you know, I'm always welcoming and open to them. Yes, yeah.
It's beautiful. And Cindy, what are a couple of issues that you have faced maybe as a solo parent, and how has parenting God's higher way influenced you?
Well, first of all, I meditated a little bit on the word solo for solo parent, because I can't honestly say that I've been a solo parent ever. Even though I'm a single parent, there has always been someone around. And I think that the challenge is not seeing myself as an island, and realizing that community is important and that I'm not walking this alone. So that was definitely a hurdle that I had to get over to begin with. I might be a single parent, but I am never alone. And at the very beginning, I think the biggest challenge that I had was that there was an extraordinary amount of fear around parenting on my own. And it wasn't for necessarily the things of the world, although there's plenty of things to be concerned about, but it was actually around the thought that maybe I would fail at this task that I was given, that I would not fulfill the duty as a parent to bring up a child that was that was kind and that was decent human being and that was flourishing no matter what they did in their life. And I realized that it all came down to this idea of not being an island. Can I do any of that in my own strength? No. Can I do it alone? No. And all through scripture, God talks about the village being such an important aspect of parenting. I have no family over here, but you are all my family. And I know that when my daughter walks in here, she runs off on her own with all her friends, and she is 100% protected because I'm not the only pair of eyes that are watching her. Yeah. And I know that there's plenty of you who feel the same about your own children. Just a few verses after Paul talks about Eunice and Lois, he actually says to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of strength and love and a sound mind. And that is really what makes a difference between a worldly mother and a mother who is bringing her child up to know God. Because fear and love don't mix. You can't love your child and be afraid of the things that could hurt them. And being able to realize that she's God's first, and I am just caring for her, really, handing all of that responsibility of her protection really over to God. Because if I live in fear, then she's going to be restricted by that. But that sound mind is the piece in knowing that God's character is always to give us good things. And so, therefore, I should be able to trust him with my most precious cargo, and trust that if I keep handing her over to him, he will guide me, whether I'm on my own Or whether I'm with someone or in a village, it doesn't matter because he is the one who's guiding her hand. So I think, you know, it's the challenge of overcoming our circumstances, what it looks like to the world, and realizing what it actually looks like in God's eyes. We will never do a journey alone, ever.
That's good, really good. And just our final question to you, Zoe, what would be your top tip for Christian parents raising children?
Oh, goodness, that's hard. I think this, I don't know if this is the top, like there are so many tips. I need
What's
tips.
What's your top tip for this moment?
For this moment, right now, okay. Feel free to give me tips later. I'm very open to learning. I think one thing that's really important for parents is to help and do what you can for your child to grow their own relationship with God. And I think that's really important because to go through your childhood and then into your teenage years and adult years, we want our children not to simply be following because we are following. We want them to, over time, and that's a big part of it initially, of course. That's why what you said about the modelling, Gigi, is really important. But we do want that relationship that they have to be growing and to be developing and to be deepening and maturing so that they can have their own relationship with God. You know, Caleb and I, and he mentioned this just before, we often say to our kids, like, Mum and Dad are going to disappoint you. We are going to let you down in some way, and, you know, we don't want to do that, but it's inevitable because we're imperfect and we rely on Jesus ourselves to help us. So what's really important for them is they have their own relationship with God and they can always go to Jesus directly. It doesn't have to be through us. And there has to be a point where they do that on their own. And so we structure our family as best we can. We get this not right all the time and can sometimes slip down the priority listing, but we are constantly trying to put it in its rightful place, to have things in our home that encourage our children's relationship building with God. So we'll do family prayer times together, devotions, you know, read through books. Because we have four, we often have to divide and conquer, and what my 4 and 7-year-old can do is not what my 11 and 13-year-old want to do. So Caleb might do something different with the girls, I'll do something different with the younger ones. You know, for Jed, it might be reading the Bible to him every night, and we've been through a kid's Bible over and over and over again with all the kids at different points. We encourage them about prayer and how to pray, you know, and to learn scripted prayers and to understand what they mean as they pray them. And the other thing, you know, I know we get our older ones to read the Bible and do devotions on their own, and we just try and find little ways in which we can have a bit of an accountability for them and to foster that, because we all need a little bit of accountability, don't we? There's so many different things we can prioritise and different distractions that are out there and other urgent things that are pressing for our time. So, for example, one way we do that is when it's holidays and it's not the typical get up and go to school routine and they don't have their devotions in that typical scheduling. Every day of the holidays, our children need to do something for their mind. So it might be, you know, that might be reading. If they're a bit younger, it might be a puzzle, something that's challenging and developing their thinking skills. They need to do something for their body. So physically, you know, they might need to go out and play at the park. They might need to go for a bike ride. Aurora might do a little workout. Eva does, you know, a ridiculous amount of gymnastics anyway. So hers might actually be to rest for her body. Something creative, okay? And we've deliberately put that in because we think that's a beautiful expression that's, you know, kids need to be able to have, and if we don't have something deliberate around that, you know, Caleb and I don't really model creative behaviours in the home all the time. We might model the physical behaviours and the gym and the different things like that. So we get them to do that. But then the other thing, every day is something for their soul. And so that might be devotion. That might be a time where they pray. Jed might colour in and then write out a scripture, write out a prayer, whatever it might be for them. And we just give them a little bit of accountability around that so they are taking responsibility for their own relationship with God and that it's moving, it's growing, it's developing, it's not staying in the one place.
I think that's the key for all of us, you know, to just keep growing in our relationship with God, reading the Word, spending time with Him, talking to Him, listening to Him, most important, more important than talking. Thank you, ladies, for sharing your insights and for, you know, opening up your lives, your parenting styles. I'm just going to invite up Caleb